In collaboration, I just saw a t-shirt that we're going to have, she's looking at it to get it produced, and the front will have the logo, No Mom Prays Alone, and on the back it's going to say, Pray Like a Mother, because no one will pray for their child like a parent will. And today, all over, there's special services for mothers, and they're lifting up our mothers, our biological mothers, or our mother figures. And there's nothing wrong with honoring them, except for we have to come past that and know that when we come to church, we lift up Jesus. And the church is the mother of us all. Yes. According to the scripture.
Amen.
I like to be honored. You see my nails, I never get them done. But Miss Brooks said, I want to take you to get your nails done. Julia took me to the tanning booth. I can't lay out in the sun, which I love to, and I grew up dark. Israel said, oh, you're almost as dark as me, Mom, now. But I can't because I have, I've had precancerous skin cells, so I can't lay out like I used to and be brown. And I don't like it when I wear dresses and have white legs. And Julia said, I'll take you and get a spray on tan. It's not risky to your body like that is. So I appreciate that. When I heard that the governor allowed beauty salons to be open on the 8th, as soon as I read that, I called my hairstylist. I said, my mom is dying to get in. Could she see you Friday? And she said, yes. And she was only working till noon on Friday and then going out of town. So I got my mom. I honored my mom by doing something that she liked. There is nothing wrong with that. It's good. But we have to know whether we have a good relationship with our mothers or whether our mothers are gone on to glory, that we have a mother, and that's the church. And the church, why did God use that as a metaphor for a mother? Because the mother teaches her children. She raises them up. She births them. And that is the function of the church today. And so when I said pray like a mother, the best example I could find in scripture is in 1 Samuel 1:9-20. Hannah was a favorite wife. She was adored over the other. There's so many layers to this story. We could go for weeks teaching it, because Hannah means grace. So it tells you a picture. Anytime there's two women in scripture, one represents grace, one represents the law. Grace was the favored wife, Hannah. And it wasn't enough that she was adored. She was given everything. What she wanted more than anything else was to give birth to a child. This is a picture of the church. That should be in our hearts this morning, that we are praying for God. Let new souls be birthed in our congregation. We are not satisfied that we have the favor of the Lord. We're not satisfied that we have things that make our life easier. We're not satisfied that the Lord has given us this project. Lord, we want more than anything to see souls birth through us. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you know somebody who needs to know the fullness of God. Now, you may know people who are saved. They love God, but do they know the fullness of His power? I cannot tell you. This is something healthy, because people who are coming to church don't call me a lot for personal needs. There's a reason for that. Your needs are being met, because when you come to church, when we pray together, we hear rhema, words from the Holy Spirit. When we come on Sunday, we hear logos, words from the written word. That strengthens and empowers us. But I minister to so many people here and abroad that don't attend church. And they need to be poured into. They need to be fed. And I can't just ignore that. I have to, yes, Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. Let me direct them and help guide their lives because they've reached out. But the key to Hannah is, I want to share something this morning. Because people think that the Holy Spirit just was invented in Acts 2 and 2. The Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. From the beginning, he was. And even in the Old Testament, there are instances of people being full of the Holy Ghost. It just wasn't shed abroad yet for all believers. Jesus had to come to release that to us all. Hannah, in her crying, in her praying, she was so full of the Holy Ghost that the priest said, "What's wrong with you coming into the temple drunk?" I'd like to have people come in with, "Oh my gosh, Lord, are they drunk coming?" If I could have people stagger into church on Sunday morning, I would be happy. I was praying and I heard somebody else speaking in tongues. And I said, "Julia," after we were done with our prayer session, "were you speaking in tongues?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Have you ever done it before?" She said, "No." See, when you just get people together and pray, the Holy Spirit does his job and we don't have to manipulate or do it for him. And you know that her prayer life has become stronger since that time. Because what is the first job of the Holy Spirit? And then I have young women in California texting me saying, I need to know what is the purpose of speaking in tongues. I wish I could cut that off for a minute. But I don't want to offend anybody by naming a name. But remind me to tell you after church whose child I'm speaking to. It's not a relative. And God is giving a hunger, because that's our part of our prayers, is to go before us, Lord. We don't even are cognizant of everything that we have prayed, but I can tell you, when we're full of the Holy Ghost, we have a unity that didn't exist before. You can tell the worship leader is in prayer when her music aligns with the message. Always is, it sinks. I don't tell her what I'm preaching, but the Holy Spirit leads her into music that is sending the same message that I'm going to be preaching. So Hannah prayed like a desperate mother. Because more than anything, she wanted to give birth to a child. And she said, "Lord, if you let me have my son, when he is old enough, I will bring him to the temple to serve you." That's what we pray, Lord. Birth us new children that we can train them, raise them up in church to serve you. Do you see the parallel of the story this morning?
Yes.
The problem is what interferes with our prayers. Before I get in, I want to give another encouraging little story that does not come from the Bible, but is a good story for all of us to know. Education is part of the church's responsibility. So if I pull another source other than God's word, it's because I feel it's valuable for us to know. And I've had people tell me, "I don't like it when she reads from some book or tells a story." But people who are spiritual will hear that and know how it's important. There were two elderly sisters who desperately prayed to see God move in their small Scottish fishing village, helped spark the movement between 1949 and 1952 that became known as the Hebrides Revival. The sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith, listen to this, were the great aunts of number 45, President Trump. Isn't that amazing that this is in his lineage and God has called him for this time? I know my grandmother prayed. I didn't know my great-grandmother, but my mother knows she prayed. They were praying for the future generations. They were praying that their families would know, come to a knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. I dare say that these sisters were praying for things to come. Do you hear their ages? They were in their 80s. There wasn't a whole lot left for them to pray for their time. So they were praying into the future. According to the intercessors of the Hebrides Revival, the Smith sisters resided in a small cottage by the roadside in the village of Barvis on the island of Lewis. The 84 and 82-year-old sisters, Peggy was blind and her sister was bent over with arthritis. Unable to attend public worship, their humble cottage became a sanctuary where they met with God. To them came the promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. They pleaded day and night in prayer, and one night Peggy had a revelation. Revival was coming, and the church of her father would be crowded again with young people. During these years, a large number of people cried out to God for mercy and trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. Another interesting feature is the extent to which the church continues to exercise significant influence in its society, despite how secularized the United Kingdom has become. Because those Western Isles in Scotland were a world apart from the rest of Britain. They had a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit for a 3-year period. One minister writing about the revival stated, "You met God on meadow and moorland. You met him in the homes of the people. God seemed to be everywhere." That's the power we pray for. When there's two or three or four of us in that little office, we're praying, God, let your Holy Spirit permeate our neighborhood. Let people walk down the street, drive past, and know that there is something that has been changed in the atmosphere. And not knowing that we were praying to that end, Miss Mary, who teaches pre-K, came by and said, I heard you guys praying in the Spirit. And I want to tell you, I felt a change of atmosphere in my classroom. That was her words. Her words were giving a testimony to what we were praying for. Mary Ann Smith McLeod, she was a niece of the two sisters, immigrated from the island of Lewis to America and met a gentleman named Frederick Trump. They married in 1936, and on April 5th, she gave birth to their first child, Mary Ann, followed by Frederick Jr., Elizabeth, and Donald Trump. You think that's a coincidence? Not only did that revival last for 3 years in Scotland, it had a lasting impact. And the Bible that belonged to them is in the president's office today. Let me tell you, we don't know. We may not even live to see the impact of what we are praying for, but we have spiritual authority when we care about things so
not just in our time. Somebody ought to be so happy about that. If two little women, blind and crippled out of the Reading, can pray and bring out revival, don't you think we are able to do it right here?
Yes, absolutely.
We wouldn't be coming if we didn't believe it. Right. But we are saying, God, we're hungry. We're not satisfied with how things are. I want you to turn to Luke 10:19. The reason we don't pray or people neglect their prayer life is because we do not understand the spiritual authority that was given to us. Through Christ Jesus, we now possess spiritual authority in His name. It's powerful. It says, Jesus was saying, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Let me tell you, we go around being sick, unhealthy, and injured because we do not know the authority we carry in Jesus' name. He said, when he said, "I gave you power over these things," he is talking about spiritual authority over evil spirits. We don't have to be afraid of what the devil's released, what the devil's released on nations around the world, how he's working through evil people, because he said, "I have given you spiritual authority." Brooke, who would believe we are accelerating during this season of shut-in? We keep growing.
Yes, we do.
We are growing so much that we have to move one classroom into our level two vision of opening up the library for school-age children.
Praise God.
Yeah, somebody yes. Praise God. Because you know what we're doing? When my academy kids said, "We're so sad, we especially because we can't come to school, because the governor still has schools closed down," they said, "We miss chapel more than anything." I said, "You can come for chapel. You can come for chapel. We'll have it twice a week." We are ministering to children who have not been brought up in church. And as I get to meet their parents, I get to tell the parents about what the Lord is doing in the lives of their children here.
Yes, amen.
And I believe those children are going home and telling their parents, because their parents may be listening and dancing and twerking to rap, but their little children are singing, "There is power in the name of Jesus." They're singing it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that power, while they are praising and worshiping Him, they are doing what I'm encouraging you to do here? It's inviting the presence of the Lord into their homes. Oh,
yes.
We have mission projects abroad, but Jacksonville is a mission project. It's called Home Missions. We want to reach Jacksonville while we're supporting other nations. And I had the longest conversation with a young woman from Kenya. She lives in South Africa now. She has her teaching degree. She moved to South Africa because she married a man from South Africa. And she said, "I still want to come." And I said, "Well, I don't think they're letting anybody now, but I want you to come." And she said, "But aren't you married?" She goes, "Well, he wants to come too. He graduated. Dr. Jim, he has a degree in computer science."
She said, he can teach it, he can repair it, he can do that. Well, wouldn't it be great if you're not the only one? Wouldn't you be shouting hallelujah if we have somebody else besides you? This guy and this guy, they can do a lot of everything. I'm talking about Israel and Jim. But because they can do everything doesn't mean they have the time to do everything. They are working hard daily, and they can't even do everything they want to do because they get pulled aside because they have to fix a problem at hand. God has people who are skilled, and we're saying, yes, Lord, open the doors for self. That this young woman is now, she's the same age as the twins. Sweet girl. She can teach about the culture of Kenya while she's teaching in the academy. Her husband can teach about the culture of South Africa because she tells me it's very different from Kenya. And they can just bring how the Lord is operating there and let our students see somebody from another country and get excited for missions. You know why I got excited for missions? When I was a little kid and we didn't have technology like we have today, but missionaries would come on a Sunday or a midweek service and they'd show their slides. And I'd just look and they'd tell their wonderful stories. And I wanted to have adventures in Christ Jesus just like those missionaries did. And God fulfilled that in me and allowed me to do it. But we have to know who we are, because if we look at the first Adam in Genesis 3:16, he did not know his identity in the Lord. There are people, now you think, how could that be? Because God came down in the garden and he talked to him. He walked with him. How could he not know who he was? I'll tell you how he didn't. Because when Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, he could have said, I'll die for you, Eve, so you don't have to. He was the first Adam. He should have known his authority, that he could have covered that situation by his willingness to die. But we get over to the second Adam. Thank God Jesus knew he was who he was in the Lord. Because in Matthew 4:11, he takes us to the story of when he was in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. And I've got to live longer to study and understand this at a deeper level, because it seems so not, it's just as nonsense that Satan would say, I'll give you these kingdoms if you'll serve me. How could Satan have the audacity to offer that to God? I just don't get that. Maybe I'll talk to you later. Maybe you understand that at a deeper level than I do. But I always thought, what is he talking about? But Jesus knew he had those already. Jesus knew he had authority. And the Holy Spirit is giving me something right now about that for another message. Thank you, Lord. We ask and you give it to us. But for the purpose of today, Jesus knew his identity. And when he answered back Satan, he would say the word of God. That's why we teach our children to memorize scripture. It's the beginning of knowing what the word says, because when the enemy comes against us, and he will, that we know what the word of God says. That's why people cannot be deluded or brought into false religion or false belief, because they have the word of God in them. And when they hear something from Satan, they know, oh, I know that's not from God. Because I know what the word says. And Jesus used we need to talk to the devil by putting him into his place when he comes against us. And when we see some of our wounded little children, I wish, I want, Lord, for our teachers to be so full of the Spirit that they can reach and touch that child and say, you're not having him, Satan. You will not touch this child because he's here in our midst and we are claiming him for the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody ought to, I teach my children, I teach my grandkids, you go ahead and have that awful fit because Satan likes chaos. And when he sees out of control situations, people who don't have control of their emotions, he comes in and he wants to capture your mind. So if you want Satan, you're just inviting him right now. We train according to the word of God. And we have to tell them, you are not called to do that. You're called to be a warrior for the kingdom. And all that strength that you have, you are to put that in control so it can be used. And you put that subject to Christ. He tells us to take captive every imagination and put it under his authority. So that means when we're hearing something that is leading us to the wrong thing, that we say, no, I know where this is coming from. And I am led by the Holy Spirit, and I will not be detracted by the things that Satan would have me get into. See, when the disciples didn't know the full authority of Christ, they didn't understand it exactly. Just turn to the previous page in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus went into the city or village of the Samaritans, they didn't receive him. And it made the disciples mad. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? So they understood power. They understood authority, but they didn't know yet how and when to use it, because Jesus rebuked them. He is not acting like Elijah did under the old covenant, because the covenant that Jesus brought was a new and better way, and it wasn't about using our authority to curse people. Anybody hearing that? People, we turn over to God. We're given authority over spirits that may be into people, but we have to know the difference, that we're not wanting the person to be destroyed, but the spirit that is operating in them. Do you understand the difference? I'm still talking about praying like a mother. We got to pray for the right things. We got to pray for the things that Jesus said we have a right to pray for. We got to pray for the authority that Jesus gave us to pray in. And when we pray like a mother, like Hannah prayed, we will give birth to the things in the Spirit, and we will see spiritual growth among us. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
One person say amen. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord's face. Operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's given us for boldness to build ourselves up, to speak to the things that are not as if they are, to speak our future into existence according to his word. How many of you want to walk into what God has called for you? And it's never too late. You're never too old. I just asked Grandma this week, will you come into my office next in the fall and help take care of the new baby? You can sit in the rocker chair and rock him, oh, her, if she starts to cry. Riley needs a great grandma too, and God is still giving you health to help out with this. Didn't you bring your babies up in Christian school?
your grandbabies every day in the house of the Lord. You help care for them. We have students in the academy. We have some great kids in the academy. If you don't know what they're assaulted with on a daily basis, I don't know what planet you are living in. But I pick up my phone and I will see the most ungodly stuff that I will just try to swipe it off my screen as soon as possible. I didn't solicit it. I didn't ask for it, but I'm invaded by it. And I have the maturity not to linger over it. But we have 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds who are given that. And they're curious. And they may linger over it. We need to hold them up daily in prayer that first they know their identity in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that the Holy Spirit would lead them, guide them, give them wisdom to walk in the ways that He has called them. There are so many things. We can take spiritual authority over our children because He's given them to us. If a mother gives birth, she has a legal right to raise that child the best way she knows how. The church, we have the legal authority to raise our children the best we know how. And we have to pray for wisdom to do that in this day and age and keep our children, because just like Donald Trump's aunties prayed, and we're seeing the third generation now impacted by those prayers, we know that we will have an impact if the Lord tarries, that we are reaching future generations. Who's ready to pray like a mother this week?
Amen.
You can do it by yourself. You can do it with us online. You can come in and do it with us. We just want people to start praying. Bishop, do you have anything you want to say today? All right. Father,
Jesus,
we are thankful, Lord, for your power. We're thankful, Lord, for more than that, your saving grace. That you gave us an identity. We're your child. And thank you, Lord. We know that. We know that we have a great salvation that you have given us. And Lord, you just didn't stop there, but you gave us spiritual authority to conquer the things that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.